We have three papers on the amendment to IFRS 10 and IAS 28. The first paper is agenda paper 12AA. In this paper, we present a summary of the common letter analysis and the interpretation committee recommendation on this project. The full common letter analysis is in appendix A. The objective of this paper is to obtain the ISB decision on the finalization of this amendment. In the exposure draft, the ISB proposed to amend IAS 28 so that the current requirement for the partial gain or loss recognition for transaction between an investor and its associate or joint venture only applies to the gain or loss resulting from the sale or contribution of assets that is not a business as defined in IFRS 3. Consequently, the gain or loss resulting from the sale or contribution of a business between an investor and its associate or joint venture is recognized in full. The ISB also proposed to amend IFRS 10 so that the gain or loss resulting from the sale or contribution of a subsidiary that is not a business between an investor and its associate or joint venture is recognized only to the extent of their related investor interest in the associate or joint venture. As a consequence, a full gain or loss is recognized on the basis of the loss of control of a subsidiary that is a business, including cases in which the investor retains joint control of or significant influence over the investee. The Interpretation Committee recommended to finalize this amendment and also recommended some changes in the wording of this amendment. In particular, the Interpretation Committee recommended to modify paragraph B99A of IFRS 10 to clarify three things. The first clarification is that the paragraph should refer to the loss of control of a subsidiary rather than to the sale or contribution of a subsidiary, because the committee thinks that all the transactions between an investor and its associate or joint venture that result in the loss of control of a subsidiary should be accounted for similarly. This should minimize structuring opportunities. The second one is that in paragraph B99A, should be specified that the gain or loss resulting from the loss of control of a subsidiary includes any reclassification adjustment as described in paragraph B99. The last one is that paragraph B99A should clarify that the requirement to eliminate part of the gain or loss applies only when the investor accounts for its investment in associate or joint venture using the equity method. The proposed wording of paragraph B99A of IFRS 10 is presented in agenda papers 12AB and 12AC. The committee also recommended that the ISB should allow the early application of the proposed amendment and that this amendment should be applied prospectively by first-time adopters. We ask the board members whether they agree to finalize this amendment as described in agenda papers 12A and 12C. Thank you.
I know it's early in the day, but there's broad agreement.
Yes. Oh, just one comment.
Yes, John.
We are proposing to amend the IFRS 10 in the case of the subsidiary sale is not a business, then you are recommending to recognize partial gains and losses, right?
If the subsidiary is not a business.
Not a business, then.
This is the point. If the subsidiary is a business, full recognition as of now.
Yeah.
If it's not a business, partial recognition.
it's aligned with the concept of this business combination. So everything just depending on whether there is business or not, that may signal us their full gain or loss or partial gain or loss.
This is exactly the point, yes.
But some commentators are asking us why we differentiate their accounting for their partial or full gain or losses, depending on this is a business or some typical asset. So they don't want to differentiate they don't want two account treatments for their, they just want one account treatment for all disposals. There are some commentators, right?
Yes, and the board already discussed this issue and decided that for a theoretical point of view, the best approach was to recognize all these transactions in the same way. For example, for a full recognition of the gain and the loss. But decided, and this is explained as a basis for conclusion of this amendment, that this approach is difficult to to implement because there are other issues as the equity method accounting that should be included in this project. And this is a short-term project, and we decided that this is the best way to proceed, even if it's not perfect.
So in the case if we started the equity accounting comprehensively, then
yes,
this conclusion might be changed in
yes,
the future.
Yes.
But this is just short-term solution.
Yes, yes. Practical and short-term solution. Yes.
But there are too many questions on this equity accounting, you know, so that's why we are integrating all questions on equity accounting in one package, in a package. So that's a quite good smart way to respond our people in the market, but I think I don't know, maybe we'll be more careful in dealing with these issues if the current proposal or conclusion, if there is a chance to be changed in future from the perspective of a total comprehensive the study of equity accounting. Then I don't know, maybe we'll better delay this the short-term solutions in future. Maybe there is a maybe there you are suggesting that's not a good idea because there's a diversity in market, so you have to provide we need to provide the short-term window, the short-term solution. But I'm just worrying about if that our conclusion is the reverse. If they become reversed in the future study, then this will make a more disaster to markets. That's why I'm my concern.
Michael?
Yeah, I think the equity accounting project that you referred to is one that will be some time before we see the fruits of that. And so I think for the time being, we're going to be still working with our 20th. I think the recommendation from the Interpretations Committee to finalise this is the way that we should go.
Philippe?
I think I said it in the past, I do not like the proposed solution. It seems to me that if you control a subsidiary and you do a transaction whereby after the transaction you have a joint control over the subsidiary, to fully recognise the gain on this transaction as proposed, seems to me to recognize again on yourself, at least for the part that you retain. And I see a lot of structuring opportunities, a lot of funny profits could be arranged on that basis. So I really think that transactions within a group, the profit should be eliminated. Transactions where you retain joint control, we don't know really whether joint control is akin to being in the group or outside of the group. Joint control is a bit special. But it seems to me that to recognize the full profit on this transaction doesn't seem right. And as I said, I think there will be structuring opportunities. I don't like it.
Gary.
I think the only positive that I can see in this thing is we reduce diversity in practice. And maybe that's insufficient reason by itself to go forward. But I'm sort of where Philippe is, where you're self-dealing inside a group where at least there's some continuing interests. You know, normally you don't recognize profit. If you're selling inventory between members of a group, you would eliminate it, you know, to the extent of the your retained interest in it, and so on and so on. But I did notice I guess it's paragraph 13 of your top paper here. Says it's going to put more pressure on the definition of a business.
Yes.
And that they go on to say the current definition of business is not sufficiently clear. And so is there plans to address the definition of business? interpretation committee or someplace else?
The definition of business is one of the key points that we are looking at in the post-implementation review of IFRS 3. So it is very much on the agenda in terms of that project. And obviously, you know, we'll see what comes out of that post-implementation review. The interpretations committee has already undertaken a significant amount of outreach looking at that particular issue, and that is being fed into the post-implementation review. So we are looking at that.
So other than reducing diversity in practice, which is a goal, is what other benefits are out of this?
Well, at the moment, we've got a clear contradiction between two standards. So we are addressing that inconsistency within the standards.
And that is a lofty goal. Rego?
As I understand, we don't have a project or plan a project for a comprehensive review of equity methods. Am I?
It's on the research agenda, and it's actually, we have a project manager allocated to it, so first step is a DP.
Okay. So that will take quite considerable time.
Yep.
Mary?
Well, I understand and share some of Chung was caution about this. That supports the interpretation committee recommendation. And as a general matter, I think the kinds of issues we've raised, concerns about short, you know, multiple changes, et cetera, is something that I'd expect the interpretation committee to consider. And reading, you know, I think if they make a recommendation like this, we should be, you know, looking for fatal flaws in that decision. And I don't see any. I mean, I think the paper lays out the pros and cons and recites the interpretation committee's recommendation, having considered those. So I support the staff recommendation to go ahead and finalize this. I did have one question which relates to the discussion of, in the draft, I think it's the elimination of upstream. It just wasn't clear to me whether that was something that the interpretation committee discussed. It's actually in the basis, and I think there's a drafting point there also that I'll take up offline, but I just wanted to make sure the comments about elimination that are in the basis actually had been discussed by the interpretation committee.
Yes.
Okay, fine. So support the staff recommendation, the interpretation committee recommendation to go ahead and finalize.
And support the interpretation committee recommendation.
Okay.